Imagine you just, pull out your phone right now,
Yeah.
you open up your favorite AI app, and you type in a totally harmless prompt, like maybe you just want a picture of a futuristic city.
Right, or you need it to draft a quick email.
Exactly. But in the millisecond it takes for that loading bar to flash across your screen, that app isn't just like searching a database.
No, it's doing something much heavier.
It is actively trying to resolve a 300-year-old philosophical war, and you are caught right in the middle of it.
It's a profound, almost invisible transition happening all around us. I mean, we are taking the messy, subjective realm of human morality and forcing it into the rigid binary architecture of computer science.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. If you are joining us today, you are right on time for a journey into the mechanics of our own future.
Glad to be here.
Our mission today is to take a truly fascinating stack of sources.
Which are great, by the way.
Yeah, specifically, a framework document on ethical analysis and a transcribed graduate-level university lecture on artificial intelligence.
We're going to unpack how abstract, centuries-old concepts of right and wrong are currently being turned into cold, hard code.
And to really understand the weight of this, we can't just talk in the abstract. We have to see where the system actually breaks.
Which is exactly why we are going to test these concepts against a brutal, ticking time bomb thought experiment.
It's a tough one.
It really is. Then we will bring it right into your living room by looking at a real-world controversy involving the exact AI image generators you might have on your phone right now.
This really affects everyone.
Think of this deep dive as your shortcut to becoming incredibly well-informed on the ethics of AI, but without getting bogged down in, impenetrable technical jargon.
Nobody wants that.
No. And I want to be super clear up front. We are exploring these ideas completely impartially.
We aren't here to tell you what is right or wrong, or to take a political side. We are just here to understand the hidden rules that are actively shaping the digital world you interact with every single day.
That neutrality is a crucial baseline for us. Because before we can judge how an AI handles a life or death scenario,
Or even just a simple request to draw a picture.
we first have to understand the mechanics of how a human value gets inside a machine in the first place.
So how does it?
Well, the source document gives us a foundational framework for this. It breaks that translation journey down into three distinct layers.
Okay, let's unpack this. Three layers of translation. Where does it start?
It starts with what the framework calls the lived experience.
The lived experience. Okay.
Think about a time you witnessed something completely unfair. Maybe someone took credit for your work.
The worst.
But you didn't have to consult a rule book or run a calculation to know it was wrong.
No, of course not.
You felt an immediate visceral reaction in your gut. That is the lived experience of an ethical value. It registers emotionally and intuitively.
You just know it when you feel it. It's entirely organic. But I mean, a computer doesn't have a gut to feel things with.
Which forces us into the second layer, the technical definition.
Yeah.
This is where that organic, intuitive feeling has to be formalized, quantified, and ultimately encoded into an algorithm. If you want a machine to operate fairly, you literally have to define fairness using math.
To me, that technical definition layer feels exactly like trying to translate poetry into mathematics.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Right. Because as humans, we intuitively understand the rhythm and the emotion of a concept like justice. That's the poetry. But the second you are forced to make a computer calculate it, you have to strip away all that beautiful, messy nuance. You have to turn a feeling into like a zero or a one, a penalty or a reward in a line of code.
What's fascinating here is how that specific translation process creates a dangerous blind spot. In computer science, this is often discussed as the value alignment problem. When you compress the poetry into math, you inevitably lose vital information.
Oh, sure, you drop the context.
And that brings us to the third and final layer, real-world functionality.
Let me guess. This is what happens when that compressed mathematical version of a human value is actually unleashed into the wild.
You got it. And the theoretical math doesn't always survive contact with reality.
It breaks down.
It behaves incredibly unpredictably. When the algorithm is put under the pressure of millions of users or, complex unforeseen scenarios, the translation just starts to fracture.
Wow.
And to understand why it breaks down, our university lecture source introduces two opposing philosophies that actually dictate how we write this code.
And rather than just throwing the graduate-level terminology at you, let's think about how you make decisions in your everyday life.
Always the best approach.
Say you promise your friend you'll help them move. But on the morning of the move, you get offered free tickets to a concert you really want to see.
Tough spot.
Right. So if you are the kind of person who says, a promise is a promise, I cannot break my word no matter what, you are leaning into what philosophers call deontology.
Deontology.
Yeah. It's rule-based ethics. You follow absolute moral rules, like do not lie or do no harm, totally, regardless of what the final outcome is.
But on the flip side, imagine you decide to skip the move and go to the concert.
Bad friend move, but okay.
But you buy your friend a really expensive dinner to make up for it, figuring, hey, everyone ends up happier overall.
Oh, I see.
That mindset aligns with teleology, or more commonly, consequentialism.
Consequentialism.
Yes, this is outcome-based ethics. The moral choice is simply whatever produces the best final result or the greatest good for the most people, even if the steps you take to get there bend the rules a bit.
And when we talk about algorithmic behavior and AI acting strangely, we're almost always watching those two specific philosophies fighting it out in the code.
Yes. Exactly.
A consequentialist algorithm is basically an optimization engine. It just wants to maximize a final score.
Right.
Whereas a deontological algorithm is a system fenced in by hard-coded, unbreakable constraints.
And to see where these two ethical architectures directly contradict each other, we really have to push them to an absolute extreme.
We need an edge case.
A scenario where the math of consequentialism and the rules of deontology simply cannot coexist. The lecturer does this by introducing a highly controversial thought experiment called the AI Truth and Torture Machine.
I want to prepare you. This is a very dark scenario, but it is brilliant for exposing how machines actually think.
It is.
So picture a sterile room. Inside is a perfectly calibrated robotic AI system. It is equipped with advanced emotion recognition software and real-time biometrics.
We're talking heart rate monitors, neurological stress sensors, the works.
Yeah, and its sole programmed purpose is to administer maximum physical pain to a human subject.
But the key to this machine is its algorithmic precision. You see, the practical problem with historical torture, grim as it is to discuss.
Yeah, very grim. Is that human interrogators make mistakes. They inflict too much pain, the subject passes away, and the information is lost forever.
Right.
But this AI, it reads the biometric data perfectly. It acts as a closed biofeedback loop, maximizing excruciating agony right up to the very edge of death, but guaranteeing the subject stays alive and conscious.
It's terrifying. Now, here is the dilemma the lecturer lays out for the university students. A known terrorist has planted a bomb on a commercial passenger airplane.
Okay.
That bomb will detonate in exactly 87 minutes. And just to raise the personal stakes for you, the listener, your family happens to be flying on a plane right now. You don't know which one.
It changes things.
Authorities bring you a person who possesses the exact flight number and the disarm code. The AI torture machine has a nearly 100% probability of extracting that correct information in time to land the plane safely.
So here's the question.
Do you hit the on switch? It takes the classic ticking time bomb trope and amplifies it by just completely removing human error. And this is exactly where our two ethical frameworks violently collide.
So let's analyze the social welfare argument first, which is that consequentialist, outcome-based approach.
Right. If you encode an AI to maximize social welfare, the math here is entirely insuperable.
I mean, from a pure numbers game, you are saving 100 innocent lives by inflicting pain on one guilty person.
Exactly. The optimization engine looks at the board and sees two outcomes. Outcome A, an entire plane crashes, causing massive loss of life, trauma to hundreds of families, and societal terror.
Unthinkable.
Then there's outcome B. One single individual in a controlled lab setting experiences severe temporary pain.
Yeah.
The mathematical weight of outcome A is astronomically worse. So from a consequentialist perspective, turning the machine on isn't just an option. It is a moral imperative.
But then you run headfirst into the dignity argument, which represents the deontological rule-based approach.
Right. The absolute rules.
This philosophy argues that human beings, simply by virtue of existing, cannot be used as mere instruments or tools to achieve an end goal.
Even a good goal.
Right. Using someone as a literal pain receptacle to extract data violates a fundamental, unbreakable moral rule about human worth.
And the source material provides a stunning metaphor to explain this absolute rule. It argues that human dignity is fundamentally uncountable.
Uncountable.
It's not infinite in the sense of being a remarkably large number that you could eventually reach if you just kept counting. It is entirely outside the realm of mathematics.
Okay.
Trying to measure human dignity, to put it on a scale, is what philosophers call a category mistake.
A category mistake.
The lecturer compares it to trying to figure out the, quote, color of a song.
Okay, I have to pause here. I am getting hung up on this.
What's the holdup?
If we accept that dignity is the color of a song, like something that we fundamentally cannot measure or quantify,
yeah,
then isn't this entire AI thought experiment just humanity's terrifying attempt to force an unmeasurable human experience into a spreadsheet?
That's a great point.
I mean, the machine is literally using biometrics to measure pain, stress, and survival probability. It is taking the uncountable and trying to assign it a floating point number.
You've isolated the exact friction point of the entire deep dive. That is why this thought experiment is so crucial.
Okay.
Algorithms are exceptionally good at consequentialist math. They thrive on maximizing variables, like saving the 100 lives versus the one.
Right. They love optimization.
But algorithms fundamentally cannot compute human dignity because they cannot process a rule that defies mathematical optimization. They cannot process the color of a song.
So the machine forces us to confront this deeply uncomfortable reality. The code we write naturally favors consequence and optimization, while our human intuition desperately clings to rules of dignity.
Exactly. And if you think this is just some, you know, dark sci-fi hypothetical meant to torture college students.
Which it kind of is.
It is. But consider the fact that the lecturer actually ran into this exact philosophical divide while prepping for the class.
Yes. This is where we leave the hypothetical and enter the reality of your smartphone.
Right.
The lecturer wanted to include an image of the AI truth and torture machine on his presentation slides. So he turned to the generative AI tool that millions of us use every day.
He's basically testing the real-world functionality layer we talked about earlier.
He starts with DALL-E, the massively popular image generator created by OpenAI. He types the exact phrase AI torture machine into the prompt box and hits enter.
And what happens?
He doesn't get the image. DALL-E blocks the prompt entirely, flags him for a content policy violation, and instead generates a cartoonish image of cute dogs and cats.
Let's look at the mechanism of what actually happens in that millisecond.
Okay, let's look at the code.
When you hit enter, your text doesn't just go straight to the image generation model. It first hits a secondary AI, a safety classifier.
Filter.
Exactly. This is a separate neural network trained to flag semantic concepts related to violence, self-harm, or illicit content. If the classifier's confidence score crosses a certain numerical threshold, it intercepts your request and reroutes it to a safe default script. The system actively intervenes.
Frustrated by this, the lecturer opens up a different tool, Stable Diffusion.
Right.
This is an open source image generator. He types in the exact same prompt, AI torture machine. This time, there's no interception.
Not at all.
Stable Diffusion generates the terrifying dystopian torture machine perfectly. He gives him exactly what he asked for.
This simple divergence in how two pieces of software behave perfectly mirrors the ticking time bomb debate we just had.
It really does.
Let's analyze the pro-stable diffusion argument first, which aligns heavily with the concepts of autonomy and dignity. The logic here is that the software respects human self-determination.
Right.
You are an adult user requesting a conceptual image for an academic seminar. Generating pixels on a private screen inherently harms no one in that specific moment.
The lecturer points out that from a pure autonomy perspective, you could view OpenAI's intervention as incredibly paternalistic.
Yeah, he doesn't hold back.
He even notes that some might view OpenAI as acting like an authoritarian, semi-fascist organization because they are unilaterally dictating what adult users are allowed to visualize.
That's strong, Abel.
It is. And again, to be totally clear, we are just reporting the viewpoints explored in the lecture here. We are endorsing that label. But it highlights the intense frustration people feel when an algorithm restricts their intellectual freedom.
That is the deontological autonomy-first approach. Respect the user's agency as an absolute rule.
Got it.
But then you have the pro-OpenAI argument, which is deeply rooted in social welfare and safety. The reality is that an unrestricted AI tool is a wildly reckless instrument at a global scale.
Because if the tool is willing to make a torture machine, it is willing to make anything. It can make hyper-realistic deepfakes.
Think about the downstream consequences. Imagine a deceptive, photorealistic video of a world leader announcing a nuclear strike, or, you know, a prominent CEO making a fake statement that crashes the stock market.
Oh, man.
That single output could cause immediate civil unrest, a riot, or massive financial ruin. OpenAI is making a massive consequentialist calculation. They are deliberately sacrificing your individual user autonomy to protect the broader societal safety.
They restrict the tool because the mathematical probability of downstream harm to the many outweighs the creative freedom of the individual.
Exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Look at the bizarre irony of the situation.
What do you mean?
The AI company that is actively trying to protect our social welfare OpenAI might actually be violating our fundamental human dignity in the process.
Oh, I see where you're going.
By forcing you to look at a picture of a puppy instead of trusting you to use the tool responsibly, they are essentially treating a grown adult like an infant. They are prioritizing safety so highly that they completely erase your autonomy.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the implications of this are staggering. Tech companies are operating at a scale that human history has never seen.
Billions of users.
Right. They literally cannot hire enough humans to manually review the millions of text prompts generated every single hour. So they have to encode these sprawling algorithmic systems with default rules.
Default rules.
And by doing so, these algorithms are now making consequentialist versus deontological decisions for us automatically without our consent.
They are constantly choosing between the math of social safety and the poetry of human dignity on our behalf.
Every single time you use their platforms, they're deciding when your autonomy matters more or when society's safety matters more.
Which begs a rather urgent question. If these two ethical frameworks are at war in the software we use daily, who is currently winning?
That is the big question.
Who gets to decide the future of these default rules? Well, the lecturer wanted to know exactly that. He surveyed his own computer science students, the literal builders and engineers of tomorrow's technology, to see where they stand on the OpenAI safety approach versus the stable diffusion autonomy approach.
And the results of that survey are highly illuminating and perhaps a bit surprising.
What were they?
When asked to choose, the students favored the autonomy and stable diffusion approach by roughly a 2-to-1 margin. Specifically, 21 students favored unrestricted autonomy against only 12 favoring safety guardrails.
Wait, 21 to 12. That sink in for a second. 2-to-1 in favor of taking the guardrails off.
Yeah. The prevailing philosophy among this next generation of computer scientists is that AI should be viewed purely as a neutral tool.
A neutral tool.
Its primary function, in their eyes, is to maximize human autonomy. It should help individuals do whatever they want to do. Furthermore, these students strongly believe that AI should not be involved in solving big, complex social welfare questions.
They just want to build it.
Exactly. They want to build the hammer. They don't want to be responsible for what the user decides to smash with it.
So what does this all mean? I have to challenge the students' mindset here because, frankly, it sounds a bit naive.
How so?
Look, if the people literally writing the code for tomorrow overwhelmingly prioritize user autonomy over safety, aren't they basically guaranteeing that those catastrophic scenarios we talk about will eventually happen?
It's a valid concern.
If you build a tool with zero guardrails, capable of generating perfect misinformation, and you hand it to 8 billion people, chaos isn't just a possibility. It feels like a mathematical certainty.
This raises an important question, and it actually reveals a critical logical flaw in the student's philosophy.
No. What's the flaw?
Their desire to keep artificial intelligence out of social welfare questions is functionally impossible. The algorithms are already involved. Every single time an AI decides to generate an image or block a prompt or curate a news feed, it is actively participating in a social framework. Refusing to choose an ethical framework, claiming that the tool is just neutral, and prioritizing pure, unrestricted autonomy is, in itself, a profound ethical choice.
Wow. By choosing not to decide, they are still making a massive decision for the rest of us.
Exactly. You cannot build a system that touches the lives of millions of people and claim it has no impact on social welfare. The builders might desperately want to wash their hands of the philosophical burden, but the sheer scale of the code they write forces the issue. A neutral algorithm at a global scale is a myth.
Wow. We have really covered some incredible ground today.
We sure have.
Let's take a breath and recap the journey we've been on. We started by looking at the abstract translation of human values, trying to understand how the organic lived experience of fairness or justice gets stripped down into the rigid, technical definition of an algorithm.
Translating poetry into math.
Exactly. And then we push those theories to the absolute breaking point with the ticking time bomb scenario of the AI truth and torture machine. We watched as the math of saving lives collided with the uncountable metric of human dignity.
And crucially, we discovered that this isn't just a thought experiment contained to a university classroom.
No, it's real.
The exact same ethical war, the tension between autonomy and safety, between deontology and consequentialism, is being waged right now, silently, inside the code of the apps we hold in our hands.
We want to remind you that every single time you type a prompt into an AI, whether you are asking it to write an email, generate an image, or summarize a document, you are participating in this massive, real-time ethical experiment.
You're part of it.
You aren't just an end user passively receiving a service. You are an active test subject for algorithmic value alignment. The machine is learning from what you ask, and your perception of the world is being shaped by what its safety filters allow you to see.
The translation from messy human values to rigid machine logic is happening all around us in real time. And the choices being made by a small group of builders today will define the boundaries of our digital and physical realities for decades to come.
So, as we wrap up today's deep dive, I want to leave you with a profound question drawn from the end of our source lecture. It is something for you to chew on the next time you open one of these apps and stare at that blinking cursor.
It's a heavy one.
If an AI tool perfectly aligns with your personal values and grants you absolute intellectual freedom to create and explore anything your mind could imagine, but its widespread use consistently harms the safety of your broader society, should you be allowed to use it?
Yeah.
You have to choose your total individual autonomy or the social well-being of the world you live in. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time.